7 of the book of Genesis. I'm going to read that passage there, and then I'm going to let you be seated. Book of Genesis. If I could get help, either Brother V, Brother George had to work tonight. He did not make it in. Brother V had to work tonight. Did not make it in. So Brother Shuck, maybe. I just need help creating an email account. I have it where, because tonight Brother Tony had to work late, I did not get my scriptures printed once and again, and I have a phone book of scriptures tonight. And it's just Wednesday night Bible study, so I just want to take our time and go through the Word. But if you could help me figure out an email account on that Outlook deal in the church computer, he said that I would be able to email my what I put on my iPad, my scriptures, email it over to that Outlook account. And if you help me create one, I can send it to the printer, and it'll print my script. Matter of fact, it'll print my message, and that'll be fine, too. I won't have to worry about none of my finger up down the screen. So by the time I get done sweating, I've got about 1,500 stripes. Looks like I'm looking out of jail, out of screen door or something. Amen. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 9, the first 9 verses there in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. This they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech, so that the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. They left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord, if He would, to touch our minds. Amen. To help us receive the Word. God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask You to anoint my mind, anoint my heart tonight. Help me to deliver the burden. Help me to preach the Word. Help us to receive the Word. Talk to us. Anoint the lips of clay, God. Let the Word be alive in us. Help us to be vessels of honor tonight. Preach to us. Help us receive the Word and retain the Word. Engraft it in us, O God. Seal it in our hearts. Help us to take it with us. Let Your anointing be upon the remainder of this service. We ask You to do it in the precious name of Jesus. We give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. It all belongs to You. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Before you're seated, come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Unto the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. In verse 5, we find that the Lord, and I briefly covered it Monday night in prayer, but you find in verse 5 that the Lord was concerned. In verse 5, the Bible says, and the Lord came down to check out the Tower of Babel. He came to check out the work that they were doing. Either way you want to look at it, they were getting the job done. I noticed in reading this that they were using inferior materials. materials. Their mortar, their concrete, the Bible said, was slime. They were using, instead of stone, it said they were using brick. And instead of mortar, it said they were using slime. This mud and algae and muck. But yet they begin to come together. The Bible said with one language, with one purpose, in one place. And with inferior materials, they were getting the job done. Using the wrong method. Using the wrong motive. They were getting the job done. All because they came together with unity. All because they got together and said, hey, now you do this and we're going to do this and let's all do it for one purpose, one direction, wanting the same end result. They all come together and work together. Inferior materials, whatever the case may be, they were getting the job done. The Bible said they were building a tower that would reach into the heavens and to be ruled by the heavens and to rule the heavens. But if you, in prayer Monday night, I referred to the Lord saying, telling Gabriel to quit blowing the trumpet, quit being so loud, we're fixing to have neighbors. And really, that's what the Lord did. He just said, hey, wait a minute, boys. Hang on, I'll be right back. I've got to go check. And they probably said, you ain't leaving us again, are you? I'm sorry, I just threw that in there. And the Lord said, I got to go down and check this thing out. I actually hadn't left them yet. I got to go down there and, sorry, it just came to me. We're in Genesis. But if you didn't catch that, I did, so don't worry, it's okay. That's like one time, the very first time I was teaching and we were doing a play. It was a play and it was years ago and we were doing a play and I cannot remember, it was about, what was the harlot? I'll say it again. Jose, that's it. Gomer. Gomer, wasn't it Gomer? I mean, it was Gomer Powell or something. I don't know. Gilligan's Island or something. I don't know. Gomer, that's all I... But then I was in the Old Testament and I said, they cried, oh, Jesus! And I thought, no, they didn't. It was too late. I done said it. I was already had Jesus in the Old Testament. It was prophesied, but he hadn't come to pass yet. And so... Amen. They came together as one people. The Bible says the people were as one. They were not going to be stopped for any reason. The Bible says nothing that they can imagine. Anything they imagine can happen. Wow, that's unity. Anything they put their mind to, the Bible said, anything that they can imagine, the Bible said, nothing shall stop them. God came down to check it out in verse 6. He said, they're going to do whatever they imagine in their minds to do. Everybody say unity. We started out the beginning of pastoring, and one area we focused on was unity. We pushed unity. Everything we've done, we did 100%. We did it together. We focused on everybody, all for one and one for all. Everybody being a part of the work and everybody doing their part. And if you're not careful, sometimes you kind of get away. Sometimes you if you're not careful, you get away from some of the basics, some of the things that got you to where you are. And that's only normal. You can't stay in one area. You teach different areas of the Bible. But in the last day or two, amen, I have felt God leading us and guiding us in a direction, kind of pulling us all back together, kind of where they're scattered and all coming back together. And so you look at what's going on. Their motive was wrong. Their reason was wrong. It was influenced by the enemy, satanic influence, and we've seen that before. It was a form of cultism, basically. You look back, and I'm trying to just go over, I don't want to go into the whole story of the Tower of Babel. You know it, I covered a lot of it Monday night. But there was a guy named Nimrod. What they were doing, basically, was trying to get a name for themselves instead of a name for God. They were trying to receive the glory instead of giving God the glory. Man, the Bible says they had one language, one speech, and one purpose. You look at unity, and if unholy unity can get God's attention, imagine what coming together for the right reason, for the right purpose, coming together to give Him glory, coming together for the furtherment and the betterment of the kingdom of God, a holy unity. Just imagine if God would come down, if unity was so strong in that environment and atmosphere, imagine what He would do for Landmark if we could come together for the right reason, for the right purpose, to give Him glory, for the kingdom of God, for revival. Amen, amen, amen. Think about it. If you'll notice there in verse 9, the Bible says He came down and He just dispersed them. He sent them to all corners of the earth. They were speaking one language, so He divided their language. He divided this group with that group, and this people with that people, and this language with their own language. He separated and dispersed them. If you look at, and I joked, and it really is where it come from, that's where they get Babel. Just babbling, making no sense. Just to babble. Just Tower of Babel. All different languages. And the Bible says He just scattered them all abroad. If you were to go over to the book of Acts chapter 2, amen. If He dispersed them for an unholy unity, go to Acts chapter 2 and we could quote it. Most of us in here could quote it. 1-4. Acts chapter 2, 1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, all of a sudden, we've got a group of people coming from different areas. The Bible said every nation. See the reversal? Unity is the key. Unity was the common denominator, if you would. The central focus of the unholy unity and a group of people that were coming together for the wrong reason, but it was unity that was getting the job done. People scattered all over this country. God divided them and dispersed them all because of unity was getting the job done. Now we find you want to go all the way to the New Testament now, to the book of Acts. What God dispersed in Genesis 11, He brought together and with the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, because of unity, He had to scatter it. But in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible said, because of unity, men from every nation speaking every language, all of a sudden, they come together with one accord in one place, in one mind, with one purpose, waiting on the power from heaven. And the Bible said they all, even though in Genesis 11, they were scattered and went to speak in every different language, now all of a sudden they begin to speak one language, the heavenly language. Amen. Thank God for Acts chapter 2, 1-4, where unity again got the job done. Where unity again got God's attention. And when all of these people came together because of unity, there again began to speak one language. Just imagine. Now, in Genesis 11, Brother Shump, the Bible says nothing that they imagine would be stopped. Just imagine if we all begin to speak that same language again, and we all begin to speak the language of revival, the language with being in the perfect will of God, the language of submission, the language that, God, whatever you want and whatever it takes, I want the will of God and I want revival. Just imagine if we could come together with one accord, with one mind, in one purpose, in one place, with unity, everybody speaking the language of revival and outreach and growth. Just imagine. Nothing, the Bible says, nothing could stop them. Amen. There is nothing that we cannot do when we get together with one purpose, with one mind, in a spirit of unity. Two brethren, two different groups of people. I heard the story, rather read the story today in a book of illustrations, and it talked about a concert in London, and this play, rather, was being put on, and there came to a scene that was called, I believe, Fedora. If I remember correctly, it was an encyclopedia of illustrations. And it said that this play was being put on, and it got to an area of the play where someone was poisoned. And usually there's a response there. Usually it's a kind of a crescendo. Usually it's kind of a where they really get into the play. And so there was a lot of hollering and laughing and catcalling and clapping and carrying on. But then everything began to die down. And then over in one section, there was just somebody just kept on clapping. Somebody just kept clapping. Everybody's like, come on, man. And just clap, 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 clap. And it said that people began to get aggravated, and people in the balcony stood up and looked over, and people on this side looked over on that side, and what was frowns quickly turned to smiles. Because there, on the front row of that section, sat two one-armed men. And those two one-armed men, handicapped, crippled, disabled, misfortunate, unfortunate, whatever you want to label it as, two one-armed men got together in agreement. They got behind it, and they started clapping together. And this guy with the left hand was clapping hands with a guy with the right hand. And they just sat there and clapping. And pretty soon, the story went on to say, pretty soon that place went up in an uproar. They were laughing. They were hollering. People were carrying on. All because two guys, and the illustration said, with huge grins on their face. They thought that was the funniest thing. They thought that was just the greatest thing. Look what we've done. But it was just two people just decided to work together for one purpose, and it brought everyone in a crowded coliseum together, if you would. Just imagine if you might have an area that's injured over here. You might have a history or something that there is a place, and then all of a sudden this guy over here, because nobody's the same, and everybody's got, but if we can just come together, remember, unity is that central. Unity is that. Everything is based around unity there. And imagine if just you can hook up with that brother and clap for everything you're worth. I don't care if you're one-armed or not, but if you can hook up with the other guy, the two of you working together can bring the whole crowd together, if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Nehemiah chapter 4. Got it, Nehemiah. Chapter 4. Amen. We got to figure out how to print them scriptures, brother. Sure would help me. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Remember I told you last week, they, no matter what, there's some going to get indignant about it. There's some going to get all indignant about what's going on and why you're clapping so loud and why you're so rambunctious and why you're so... And the Bible says that Sanballat took great indignation. Anytime you ever try to do something for God, you're gonna upset the apple cart, if you would. You're gonna shake up the enemy. The enemy don't like as long as you sit there and do nothing. Now he'll let you cause confusion and he'll let you pitch fits. He'll let you do whatever you want to do. He don't care. But the moment you get behind the man of God, the moment you stand side by side with the man of God and you say, we're going to get the job done, come hell or high water, no matter what it takes, I'm with you to the end. The moment you do, he's going to fight you tooth and toenail. He's going to fight your family. He's going to come against you. He's going to do whatever he can. But one thing, he cannot stop a people with a made up mind. A group of people that get their mind made up. But nothing. Purpose in the heart, if you would. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. Verse 6 says this, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. People got together with one mind, with one purpose, for one reason, Brother Cannon. They made up their mind that we're going to do this. And the Bible says they joined one half with the other half because the people had a mind to work. Verse 14 says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. He starts off, man, fight for your brethren. Fight for the church. Fight for the people of God. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, and everyone unto his work. Somehow they got stopped. There was a council. But the Bible says that everybody returned back to work. Sometimes there are things, and Nehemiah chapter 4 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Jordan asked me this week, he said, Daddy, what's one of your favorite books of the Bible? And I love Old Testament. I love where the prophecy and the book of Acts, and that's what I told him, probably the book of Acts, where the Holy Ghost was poured out, and I love that. But I love over in Judges and over in the First and Second Kings, First and Second Samuel, when it gets into all of the history and all of the, so many of those stories, you can pull so much from there. But when you look, and the parallel with where we are now, there are things, situations, and life sometimes has a way of knocking you off the wall. Things, people, it has a way of knocking you for a loop sometimes. You ever been felt like Humpty Dumpty? I didn't say look like Humpty Dumpty. I said felt like Humpty Dumpty. Yeah, I identify, preacher. I'm telling you right now. You ever felt like your nothing could put your life back together again? But then you met the one called Jesus. And what the this one couldn't do, the Bible said, I know a king that can put him back together. The king couldn't put old Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I serve the king that can put this thing all back together. Put your life back together. Put my life back together. I don't care if you have been knocked off the wall. I don't care if you've had to just back up. Hey, amen. I'm here preaching to you. Get your focus back. Get your burden back. Bible said they return back to work. I don't care if you hadn't prayed this week. Tomorrow's a good day to start. I don't care if you've been, you feel like you've let God down, or you let the church down, or you let the man, get back to work. Get back a tool in your hand. Bible said they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. I like the part where he said they returned back to work. Look at somebody and tell them, get back to work. Oh, you can do it better than that. I know you want to tell them better. Look at them and say, I mean it. Get back to work. Easy, brother. You ain't got to hit him. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Goes on through verse 17. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work. The other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows. And the Hebergions, should have looked that one up. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Amen. The rulers got behind the people and said, come on, man, you can make it. The rulers stood with the people and said, you can do it. Verse 17, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Everybody was busy. Everybody was kung fu fighting, it says. Everybody was busy. Everybody had a sword or a spear in one hand, and they had a hammer in the other, or a level in the other, or where they mixed the mortar in the other. They had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. The Bible said in the verse previous, it said that one group stood watch over the people, and the other worked, and then they swapped places, and the other group stood watch over them, and they done the work. But everybody was busy building the wall. It goes on in one place. It said this family hooked up with that family. Go and read it for yourself. That family hooked up with this family, and the Lokis hooked up with the Mans, and the Mans hooked up with the Shubs, and the Shubs hooked up with all of the Kinneys, and it went all the way around until this wall was totally built. Read it for yourself. It says it. Everybody hooked up with the one next to them till there was nothing in between. There was no open place or weak place in the wall, the Bible says. And to go very quickly, it says at one point that while they were trying to finish different sections, he said, when you hear the trumpet, he said, I want you to come together. The very next chapter, matter of fact, said, when you hear, maybe it was chapter 6, the Bible says, when you hear the trumpet, when you hear the man of God preaching the word, he told him, he said, when you hear the trumpet blast, he said, everybody, get down, let's all come together. He said, but everybody form a wall around this thing. He said, when you hear the trumpet blast, he said, honey, get down from where you're at, let's all come together, because there's a battle fixing to happen. There's something, and what I've been preaching the last few days and the last little bit is a reminder that we're in a battle. I've been blowing the trumpet. I've been making a sure sound, if you would, a clear sound, a clear note. Amen. We've got to have unity. Man, I'm usually, yes, sir. Better get back in the mic, Atma. I don't know why I'm still holding out here. We've got the definition of the word. I missed a 38-minute section right there. It wasn't even on there. We've got to protect the heart. There's scripture that talks about that. There's scripture in the Bible that talks about protecting the heart. Amen. You had better protect. Nobody likes to have their heart hurt anyway. Nobody likes to have a heartache. And honey, God provided us ways to protect the church, to protect the heart. Number one being unity. Amen. If we can come together, that doesn't leave an opening out there for the enemy. The word unity The definition, well, first, and I'm not going to turn there, just very quickly, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10, and then verse 12, the Bible says that two are better than one. For if you fall and you're by yourself, there's nobody there to pick you up. But if you got a brother with you or a sister with you, and you happen to fall, the Bible says the other one is there to help you get up again. The Bible says they can pick you up and help you make it. And then verse 12 goes on to say, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Honey, when you come together in unity and you put God in the mix, there is no telling what can happen. Amen. Unity gets God's attention. Amen. Unity gets God's attention. Amen. Everybody say unity. The word unity means oneness. The definition, one of the definitions is oneness or harmony or agreement. The word oneness means, well, it's real deep. It means one. I know that probably blew some of you away, but I'm just one. Amen. Oneness. Look at a vehicle. And a vehicle is one vehicle. It's one car, one truck. But it's made up of many, many, many parts. All for the sole purpose of getting you to where you're going. For the sole purpose of getting a job done. But all of these parts are working together in unity to make up the whole, to make up this vehicle, to get us from point A to point B, or from here to glory. Amen. But this car is, everything is doing its part. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a responsibility. And when one little fuse goes out, one night we were in Osceola National Forest, and me and another man and another guy I grew up with, Tyler's daddy, Tyler Harvey's daddy and Brother Matt Harvey's brother. We were just on this side of the law. Okay, we just didn't shoot anything, that was all. It was late at night. And we were in the Osceola National Forest. And we were in that Dodge Aspen he had. We got us one of them big Q-beam spotlights. We were shining deer. And it was completely total darkness. We had that big spotlight. We were at a crossroads there, and there was a little pond there. And we took that spotlight, man, we were shining out across there on the backside of that pond. And all of a sudden, that one little bitty fuse blew. They do not make Dodge Aspens with extra fuses, just in case y'all ever wondered. We were in the middle of the Osceola National Forest with not one single light whatsoever. No headlights, no interior lights, no spotlight, no nothing. And about that time, we looked across there, and there in the moonlight, we seen this. We seen a cigarette glow. And that will strike fear in the heart of a young man. If you see a cigarette glow sitting in the palmetto bushes, and there sat a game warden watching us, sitting there. No headlights. Was our worst nightmare. I will tell you this, he can't find you in the dark either if you ain't got lights. That's just all I'll say. If you drive him blind, and all we could do was just use the where the light and the trees were darker than the skyline. We used that. And the sound of cars going up and down Interstate 10. And we worked our way out of them woods. We did not shoot anything, therefore he did not arrest us. But isn't it amazing that car was stopped, everything was shut down, we were blinded, all because one little fuse blew. We overloaded the circuit, if you would. Sometimes in life, there are things that the enemy has abilities of overloading the circuits. One thing that I love about this truck out here, it has on there when the guy, originally the guy ordered it, he ordered it, Brother Cannon, with one of those heavy-duty amp alternator things with the heavy-duty fuses where you can run a generator from it. It has a plug you can run a camper off of it. It's all beefed up and upgraded. When you come to God, there are areas and there are things that sometimes, well, you've seen people blow a fuse, haven't you? You've seen people blow a fuse and it shut them down spiritually. It put their spiritual lights out. I've seen people blow a fuse. But isn't it amazing that with prayer, just a little bit of prayer, just a little bit of a Sunday night service like we had, just one good crying session, one good prayer session, one good touch from heaven, and God can replace the fuse. The lights can shine bright again. Matter of fact, He'll give you a spiritual upgrade if you'll let Him, if we'll just keep praying. But we have to come together in unity. So the definition for the word unity is oneness. One definition is harmony. Amen. You can look at music, talking about singing in harmony. That is several parts sounding like one. A choir singing so together, a group singing so together in harmony, it sounds like one voice. You look at a piano, but when the rhythm is right and when the keys are all in unison, not competing with one another, but completing with one another. It's amazing when unity comes into the church. That many members, the Bible says, making up one body. All of us working together in perfect harmony for the same reason. The Bible says it makes a beautiful noise. It makes a beautiful sound. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. Why and how does that happen? It's when we come together with unity and begin for one purpose. God, we've come to praise You. For one reason, God, we've come to love You, magnify You, and worship You. All of a sudden, God says, oh, I love it. They're singing in harmony. Oh, I love it. I'm here in unity. Amen. So oneness is a definition. Harmony is a definition. The third definition is agreement. Amen. Many people coming together, agreeing together for one purpose, one plan. Amen. In the book of Psalms, chapter 133, amen, and I'm trying to go as quick as I can. Amen. He's talking about unity. And I've taught on it before. I'm just trying to come at a just different, a little bit different angle. And I want to get to where I want to go, if I have any time at all. Amen. Is where the Bible talks about loving one another. You can work together and not love one another. I will tell you that. You can work on your job and work with someone on a job, but just because you work with them on a job don't mean you love them. Now, you'll love them enough to go to heaven. You'll love them just enough to say, God, you had to kiss them. You just love them. You can work with somebody and have unity, a form of unity on the job. But when you have true unity, and unity that gets God's attention, and unity that spiritually is effective, you're going to have to love one another. You're going to, as the Bible says, love one for another. And so that's really where I'm wanting to get, and I realize I don't have long to get there. So in the book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 and 2, Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Amen. You look at that, and David there is describing unity in these two scriptures. He talks about how good it is for brethren, amen, to dwell together in unity. He starts off the chapter. Oh, how good it is when brethren come together in unity. Amen. Go to the second verse, and we find that he talks about how it's like the oil, the anointing oil, amen, that ran down Aaron's beard and went down to the ends from top to bottom, if you would. Amen. Unity in a service brings an anointing that flows from beginning to end. Amen. Unity brings an anointing. It's easily understood in the Bible that if we, you and I, many members making up one body, if we can all come together with one mind, one purpose, one plan, if we can come together in unity, amen, the Bible is plain to say it's like the oil, the anointing oil, where I anointed the man of God. It is an anointing that if you, the pulpit and the pew, can come together in unity, he's very plain in saying, hey, I will anoint it. I'm jumped to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. I know that I'm going very fast because I really do want to get to this next part. Amen. And I don't want to overlook any scriptures. Ephesians 4 and 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiving one another. We talked about last week forgiving, just not forgetting. And I could, and I won't go there, but in the book of Genesis, starting at 42 and all the way through 50, chapter 50, chapter 42 up through chapter 50, and all in there, it talks about Joseph. And you look at Joseph in the Bible, and that whole section there, you look back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, if anybody could sing Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song, it was Joseph. They betrayed him. They sold him out. They done everything they could. They attempted to kill him. They lied about him. Sold him into slavery, gave him up for dead, dumped him in a pit, lied to the daddy. Would have probably killed him if one of them hadn't said, hey, whoa, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit. Let's just put him in here. No, don't kill him, boys. They was fixing to kill their own brother because of jealousy. Because of jealousy and bitterness. Because, well, they perceived in their mind that daddy loved him more and he was daddy's favorite, and daddy's special pet. And I've seen people and siblings, and I've seen families divided because one was jealous of the other. I've seen people jealous of one another, one family in the church jealous of another family in the church. And because of this, honey, because of this bitterness, given half a chance, were they in the right time and place and period? There's no telling. They could have wrote a chapter or wrote a book. And Joseph was sold into slavery, attempted murder, lied on, you name it. They had done everything they could. And so if anybody had a right to be mad about it, it was Joseph. But Ephesians 4 and 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Matthew 5 and 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Anybody had a right, Joseph did. But I'll tell you, the true test of a man's character is when you are in a place where you can do them harm. and you don't. The true test of a man's character is when you're right. And I could strip you. Boy, I could do it, but I choose not to. When you know something on somebody and you keep it to yourself. When you know something, you just don't feet that are swift to mischief and sow discord among the brethren. And the Bible says an accuser of the brethren. I thought Brother Rogers and I were talking on the phone today and we were talking about a passage in the Scripture that said to the woman who was caught. Mind you, who was caught in adultery. Who was caught in the very act. And he said to her, he said, where are your accusers? And she said, I don't know, I don't see any, I guess I don't have any. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Joseph, in one place, in the verse, in the chapter of 50, I believe it was, verse 19, or yeah, 50 and 19, I believe it was, they asked him, he said, you're not mad at us? The brothers asked him when they found out. He said, you're not holding it against us? And he said, am I God? You mean you forgive us? And he said, am I God? Do you think I would play God? Well, there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there, friend, when he said forgiving one another. I don't care what they've done. You have an obligation to forgive them. That is, if you want to be forgiven. Because the Bible says, what about forgive? What's it say? He said, as you forgive others. What's it say? Lord's Prayer. Forgive us what? Thank you. Ooh, I was about to get worried. We couldn't, out of 60 people, we couldn't come up with the Lord's Prayer. Because when I went to quote it, my mind went blank too, so don't worry. Actually, I knew the part I was wanting. But he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you want God to forgive you, you better start forgiving some things. You better just go back to the Scripture that said, and be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Amen. The Bible doesn't say retaliate. It says the battle is not yours, but it's mine. It doesn't say get revenge. It says vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We can go all through the Scriptures. The Word's alive. It is effective today. It never ends. It's never out of date. It's always current with where we are. No matter what situation you face, you can find it in the Bible. No matter what you're going through, it's in the Bible. Amen. You can connect it through the preaching of the Word, and God can deal with you and give you an answer when you come with the right mind, the right purpose, saying, God, I want a spirit of unity. Not only spirit of unity, but unity of the Spirit. God, I want to be one-on-one with you. Help me, God, plug in. Help me forgive my brothers. God, help me forget these things and put them behind me and tender-hearted. One place it says long-suffering. Amen. That just means to suffer long. Just to suffer long. Were you wanting to say something, brother? Oh, you were agreeing. I thought for a moment, I thought you were going to tell me what the other meaning of hapergion is. Amen. You find in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? He was a real spiritual giant, wasn't he? Whew. Seven times? Now remember, this is the guy. Peter had a problem with anger, okay? Peter had anger issues. He was also the man that God gave the keys to the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? This is a guy that cut the man's ear off. He tried to cut his head off, but he got ducked. He was getting older, and he was a little slower. So all he got was an ear. The man ducked. Peter had anger issues, but yet God gave him the keys to the kingdom. This is the guy that had the keys to the kingdom, and yet he said, God, these dudes that are doing me wrong. He said, how many times am I supposed to forgive them? 7 times? The Lord just said, no, not 7 times there, Peter, but 70 times 7. In other words, on and on. There's no ending to it. He said, there's no ending to it. 70 times 7. So if they've done you wrong, I tried to add up how many that was, and I can't remember. 70 times 7 is what, 499 or something like that? Or something like that, I don't remember. 449 or whatever, I don't know. I think I'm getting close to that. No, geez. I know some of you just thought, yeah, I've got to be right on there. Well, Melvin's counting how many times Matt's done him wrong. Amen. Amen. Everybody say unity. Amen. The devil, what especially is division, separation. Wants to get you isolated. Wants to get you feeling isolated. That wedge of discouragement. Remember the story I told you, the yard sale. We can get him discouraged. I can get all these other things in there if I can just get them separated. They tell the story of the four bulls, and the bulls, they were brothers. They were together. Anything that they faced that came against them had to face them as a unified front. Anything come against them to cause them danger, they got together. And every time the lion came out to get them, they would face him. Instead of one set of horns, he had to face four sets of horns. Instead of one bull, he had to face all four bulls. So one day the lion got the very last bull, was kind of tired that day, and he was lagging behind. And when the lion, he didn't attack him, he just sidled up close to him and said, hey, you know them other bulls are talking about you? And he went on. The story says the next day he come up to the second lion who was, or the second bull that was out on the edge of the pasture eating, and he didn't attack him, cause an all-out attack would bring them all together. So he whispered to that bull across the little creek there, hey, I think bull number one's mad at you. Well, I heard him talk about you. And he went on. He did that for a few days till he got all four of those bulls thinking that the other bulls were talking about him. The other bulls had it out for him. The other bulls were against them. The other bulls were feeling like nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. And the story says that the lion did that day in and day out, just an accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, until he was able to pick off those bulls one by one. He could not get them together, so he had to divide them. The church today, we together, there's nothing can stop us. The Bible said, anything we imagine, anything we put our mind to, our hand to, there's nothing that can stop us if we have unity. But if he can divide the pulpit from the pew, and this side from that side, and the front row from the second row, and this side of the row from that side of the row, and this family from that family, like that illustration of that phone book that guy ripped up that day. And I thought, how in the world did he do that? I tried it. I couldn't do it because I grabbed all of them at one time and tore, and it would not even budge. But he slid his fingers in that phone book, and he separated the A from the B's, and the B's from the C's, and the C's from the D, and all the way down. until he separated each family, and then he went, shoo. And if he can get his fingers in the church, if he can separate this bull from that bull, if he can separate the music from this department from that department. Remember, we are many members making up one body. If he can divide us, he can conquer us. United we stand, divided we fall. Amen. I want to go down just very quickly. Oh, Lord God. Amen. The book of John chapter 13, and I have 8 minutes, and I'm just going to cover this very briefly. Book of John chapter 13. Amen. 34 through 35. John 13, 34 through 35. Amen. Unity. Loving one another. 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Unity. You can work together, but it don't mean you have to love each other. But if you want true unity, if you want it to be effective, if you want it to be like the Tower of Babel, when they got together using inferior products, using the wrong motive, but yet they got God's attention and God had to come down, all because they got together with unity. If you want true unity and to get God's attention and have God come down, amen, you're going to have to love one another. And how shall you be known as my disciples? By the love ye have one for another. In chapter 15, just jump over one verse or one chapter there to over two chapters to chapter 15. Beginning at verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved you, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. I just read you, known as your disciples, as his disciples, by the love ye have one for another. Verse 17 says, These things I command ye, that ye love one another. You want to bear fruit? A church that does not bear in fruit is a church that doesn't have unity. It's plain and simple. A church that's not winning souls, a church that's not reaching the lost, that they're not effective, the Bible says there's no unity. Because he said, this is my commandment, that you bear fruit. This being the commandment, that ye love one another. Amen. You want God to come down in your life? You want God to answer your prayer? You want to be able to bear fruit? Amen. You better start loving one another. I don't mean click up over here and this group with that group and this family with, and that happens when you start marrying into families and your family start getting bigger and bigger. And if you have more than one sibling, it would be easy for the Kinneys or easy for the Cannons or easy for this group or that group. Now you've got like the Kinneys, and there's Brother Roden, and then because of Brother Roden, there's Fernelles, and pretty soon you're not careful. You got this whole group over here, and that whole group over here, and the left hand don't know what the right hand's doing because everybody's doing their own thing. Amen. There are some people I realize, there's some people you ain't going to gee and haw with. I get that. I'm old enough now to realize that 1:42 Friday morning, 1:42 in the morning, or today's what? Wednesday, so Tuesday, 1:42 in the morning, my phone rang. 1:42 a.m. Answer the phone, hello? Thinking, my God, what in the world is going on? Somebody's died. 1:42 a.m. My phone rang. I answered it, hello. He said, hey, princess, get your clothes on. Come down and investigate. I said, what am I investigating? I said, what am I investigating? He said, the fire. I said, what fire? He said, who am I talking to? I said, this is Pastor Johnson. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, well, pray for us. I said, well, sir, who am I praying for? I realized I could have been mad. I could have showed my behind. If he could have seen through that phone, I probably was at that moment. It was 1:42 a.m. The visual there is shocking, isn't it? Causes me to even stumble. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, just pray for us. And I said, who am I praying for? He said, the Goodlettsville Fire Department. And I said, well, sir, I will do just that. He said, thank you, sir. I'm so sorry to bother you. 7 o'clock last night. And I told him, I said, no problem, my friend. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll say a prayer for you. At that moment, I can't remember if I prayed or not. I think I went right back to sleep. I didn't say when I would pray, okay? I don't think I prayed at that moment. It just hit me. I don't think I prayed at all about it. So he said, 7 o'clock last night, my phone rang again. Oh, here we go. And he said, Pastor Johnson, I said, yes. He said, this is so-and-so with the Goodlettsville Fire Department. He said, I want to apologize to you. I appreciate you not getting upset. He said, I apologize. We somehow had your name in there wrong. And me and this guy's on two total different worlds. Probably thinking in my brain, it's 1:42, you woke me up. I'll never see this guy again. I'm going to bless him out and give him a piece of my mind. 1:42, I didn't have much to share. I said, yes, sir. He said, this is so-and-so, Captain so-and-so with the Goodlettsville Fire Department, and we want to apologize, sir. We apologize for waking you up, and he went through it, and I said, that's no problem. Again, it's perfectly all right. I'm not upset. And he said, I said, I tell you what, sir, keep me in your phone. And he said, I will. I'll do just that. I said, you never know when you need a pastor. You never know when you need prayer. And I said, I pastor out at Landmark Pentecostal. And I said, I would love to have you come by and see the man from the Goodlettsville Fire Department that woke me up. I said, I would love to meet you in person. He said, sir, I would love that. He said, I'd just like to go get coffee with you. And I said, well, my friend, you have my phone. You have my number. Just call me. I could have. 1:42, I had it right. I was justified. You woke me up. You woke my wife up. That's a no-no. Don't you know what you just done, bless God? And there's been a day I have. There's been a day that I did get upset, had to go back. I was right, though. Bless God, I was right. Indignant. I could have, but I chose not to. I just simply told him. And the end result was he called the next day and said, maybe we can go for coffee. I said, I'd love to have you at church. And he promised he would come. He promised that he would be here. And so who knows? But not everybody is going to be the same. Not everybody is going to. We went to Los Angeles here recently, and when we did, we went to pull on the freeway. And this woman, man, she, did. I rolled down my window, stuck my head out the window. I said, I didn't know what she said. She didn't know what I said. I just made up a language. It was fun. We got a good laugh out of everybody in the car. We all thought it was funny. I just made up foreign language. It reminds me of some things are hereditary. Some things are passed down. I was reading my grandmother's diary here a few days ago. And in my grandmother's diary, I read where my grandfather had a terrible accident. He'd been going to the doctor, and I read my grandmother's handwriting. Said, we're not going back to that doctor. He's a foreigner. This is my 90-something-year-old grandmother. It was in her blood, brother. And passed down. I just refused to stay here. There's so many areas that I wanted to go. Let's just stand. So many areas that I wanted to focus on unity in the beginning. Understand this. Remember this. Not everybody speaks the same language. Not everybody's going to be the same as you. But that doesn't mean we can't get along. So many other areas I wanted to talk about tonight, and you just don't have enough time when you get to talking about love. You get to talking about unity. I hunt. I fish. It's in my blood. Both sides of my mother's side, all of my uncles and grandfathers, they all hunted. They all fished. They all had dogs, rabbit dogs, bulldog, hound dog. On my dad's side, my grandfather, all of my uncles, all of my cousins, just the same. They all hunted. They all fished. They all have dogs, all kinds. It's just in our blood. I dearly love it. It's my only passion outside of church and outside of family and God, church. That's the only real hobby that I really like is I'm very outdoorsy. I've always been very active outdoors. I love four-wheelers and I love tractors and I love to be outside and we work. I carry guns. I carry knives. I have weapons. That's just me. It's who I am. But just because I do and you don't, doesn't make me more of a man or you less than a man. It's just I have different preferences. Many members making up one body. Going on in there, I could go on into where it talks about no division and no schism, no separation in the body. And I, for sake of time, I never had a chance to get there. I wanted to end up, but I could go on. I have different likes, yet we serve the same God. We baptized in the same name. If we're not careful, it'll be this side bowing up looking at that side. Can I tell you, we'll never bear fruit if we don't have unity. If you don't have love for one another. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. He said, if you want to bear fruit, then love one another. You want to get my attention? He said, have unity. Love one another. I like log cabins. I like the vacation in the Smokies. And you might like the vacation in Vegas. I don't know. I like quilts and cookbooks. That's just something my wife and I do. I don't use scrunchies. I don't sleep in pajamas. I sleep in more than my dad does, so I will tell you. Y'all been around a long time, so y'all can figure that one out. God forbid we ever have a fire, because he's going to be in trouble. Many members making up one body, loving one another, the Bible says. Just because my personality is a blue and you might be a flaming orange, brother. You might be gold. You might be green. And I'm so blue. Doesn't make me right. You wrong. You right. Me wrong. We're just many members making up one body. I just decided a long time ago, and I'm closing, I just decided a long time ago that I was just going to love the kingdom of God and the people of God. Don't matter to me what race, what culture, where you came from, as long as we're headed in the right direction, as long as we're headed in the same direction. I just made up my mind I was going to love your kids with everything in me. I decided I was going to be a gentleman. I decided I was going to defend the kingdom of God. I can remember, and so can you, different pastors growing up, different people, and some wouldn't give you the time of day. Would not speak, never did speak. Unless you was in ministry or unless you were, never, ever would speak to the people. And then there's some like Brother Atkinson that talked to everybody, that made you feel like you was the most important person on that pew. Remembered your name, talked to you every time he seen you. Old Brother Hudson would too. Compliment you on your clothes. Compliment. I never forgot that as a kid. I just never forgot that. So I made up my mind that I was going to make your kids look and feel special. Let them know I loved them. If I had a dollar, I was going to give them a dollar. If I could give them a compliment and give them a hug. But do you always feel like it? No, but we're many members making up one body. And if I had time, I'd go into it where the Bible talks about if the eye hurt or if the ear hurt. We all got different issues and we all got different hurts and different problems, but we're all many members making up one body. We don't just cut it off and do away with it. We don't discard them. You hurt me once, so I'm never going to. Well, you got something in that eye one time. Boy, I'm just going to pluck that eye out, bless God. No, I'm going to go get me something to clean that eye out. I need that eye. That's the eye I shoot with. Many members making up one body. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I could have blessed that dude out and I would have been justified. But true character is when you can hurt them, and when you're right, you don't do it. When you're right and you're justified, and they're in the wrong, you can stick it to them, brother. You can embarrass them and humiliate them and strip them. You just keep your mouth shut and you pray for them. A soft answer, Proverbs says, turneth away wrath. Man, love is shaking hands, smiling, talking one with another. Never have like fits. I never have like it when this group got over here with their four no more, their family no more. We're all part of the family of God. Amen. We're all in this thing together. We're all connected. I don't like it when you get out of here and I haven't shook your hand or hugged your neck or talked to you for a day or two. It bothers me. Why? Because we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family of God, and the Bible says we are to love one another. Amen. So, in closing tonight, amen. I want you to understand, hey, you're not going to be best buddies with everybody. I've been in this thing long enough, and you're not going. Some people can't even get along with their own selves. What in the world do you think they're going to get along with you for? But it don't mean you can't love them. It don't mean you can't forgive them. And it don't mean you can't try. And it don't mean you can't work at it. And it don't mean God can't change you. Because I've seen situations where borderline being enemies in the church, borderline hard hurt feelings, and now there's a closeness and a love that says, I got your back. I'm praying for you. You say, it can't happen in here. You don't know. Yes, I do know. I do know it can happen. I do know God's a big God, and He's bigger than your little offense and your little hurt. And when you put that thing bigger than God, honey, you say it. You're saying, God, you can't do it. God, you're not big enough to do this. Amen. Loving one another. There was a man stranded on an island. Been stranded for years. And they finally rescued him. When they did, as the captain of the ship that rescued him pulled away, he looked back on the island. He said, what's that house down there? What's that building down there? He said, oh, that's where I attend church. Been there by himself for years. He said, what's that building right down there? The captain did. He said, oh, that's where I attend church. He said, well, then what's that building up there? He said, oh, that's where I used to attend. Some people can't hardly get along with themselves. I refuse. It would be too easy to let division creep into the church. It would be too easy to just let separation, hurt feelings, let them go. If you let them go, they'll run rampant in the church. Amen. Is there anybody in agreement with me that's just decided, I'm not gonna allow it here. I'm not gonna put up with it here. If I've got an offense, I'm gonna say I'm sorry. Amen. A caveman, they used to settle their wars with picking up a pile of stones and throwing rocks at each other. They still do that in the church, you know. But the way to stop a caveman is you just pick up your pile of rocks, go lay them at your neighbor's feet and say, I'm sorry. Just go lay them at your enemy's feet. The Bible said, love your enemies. Love the one you got a problem with on the pew. If there's a problem between here, you just go and take it right here, brother. Brother Slaughter, you take Brother Lyons. I just lay it. Brother Will, I just lay it. I lay my pile of rocks right here. It's hard. I mean, you're nearly possessed of the devil if you can get mad at somebody and they're sitting there saying, I'm sorry, and here's the pile of rocks. Here's what I've been, and I'm so sorry. Just pray for me. Help me. Amen. I refuse to allow division to creep into the church. We'll stomp it out in Jesus' name. The very last thing in closing is there was a knight in the medieval times, and one day he'd been out pillaging and burning. He got back to the kingdom, and he went in the castle, and the king said, how fares thee, my kingdom? And the knight said, it all fares well, O king. He said, I've been out burning all the villages and pillaging and trashing all of the villages of your enemies to the west. And the king shouted, I don't have any enemies to the west. He said, you do now. Why don't we just agree together? Don't make new enemies. Don't create problems in the church that aren't there. Ever seen anybody want to fight a war or a battle and they want to fight just anything? It wasn't even a war going on. They wanted to fight. Nope. Why don't you just pick up your pile of rocks and just say, hey, just help me pray about it. I need all the help I can get. Amen. Everybody say unity. Amen. Loving one another. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and ask.